Speaking on this program is Jim Dearman.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What comes to your mind when you hear those words? What does calling upon the name of the Lord mean to you? Today we're going to see what it means from the Word of God, and that's the meaning that we must be concerned about. We hope you'll stay tuned for this important study. Calling upon the name of the Lord. What does that expression mean to you? I recognize that in the religious world today, it has a variety of meanings, unfortunately. But it should not, because there is but one meaning attached to calling upon the name of the Lord and what that means. That's the title of our study today, Calling Upon the Name of the Lord. What does it mean from the Word of God? Certainly, we know that it is important, in fact, it's absolutely essential that we understand what it means to call upon the name of the Lord, because unless one calls upon the name of the Lord, he cannot be saved. That's what Paul wrote in Romans 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, if we read further in that text, he asks, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But then verse 16, the next verse, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, notice if we read the full context, we really have there the definition of what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. To call upon the name of the Lord means to obey the gospel, because he began by saying, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But near the conclusion of this particular section of Scripture, he says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. They have not all called upon the name of the Lord by doing what? By obeying the gospel. And so really, right here in the context in which this statement, calling upon the name of the Lord, is found, we find the meaning. And that's always a good rule to follow in the study of Scripture, so as not to take a passage out of its context and make it teach something that it does not teach. Calling upon the name of the Lord, then, does not mean to simply pray some prayer. It does not mean to simply invite the Lord into your heart and be saved on the spot. It means to call upon the name of the Lord by obeying the gospel. And to obey the gospel means just that, to obey. There's something that we must do. Jesus made that perfectly clear when he said, as recorded in Luke 6:46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And so Jesus made it clear that to call upon the Lord by simply calling upon him verbally, or by calling upon him through prayer, for example, is not what the Bible means by calling upon the name of the Lord in order to be saved. It means to obey the gospel. There's another passage, Matthew 7:21, which emphasizes this point. Jesus there says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, what have we seen? Jesus says, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall be saved. Not everyone who calls me, Lord, Lord, shall be saved. We've seen from the context in which this statement, call upon the name of the Lord, is seen, that obeying the gospel involves calling upon the name of the Lord. But we may also see some examples of such. And today we're going to look specifically at two examples of those who called upon the name of the Lord in compliance with what the Bible means by calling upon the name of the Lord. That is, they obeyed the gospel. And that's what we must do if we are to call upon the name of the Lord in the only way that can bring salvation from our sins. And that is by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. The first example of calling upon the name of the Lord is seen on Pentecost Day. And so as we look at our examples of calling, the first is seen on Pentecost. That is, the first time that the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached. And when those who called upon the name of the Lord there were saved, they were saved in the same way that you and I must be saved today. They called upon the name of the Lord, yes. But how did they call upon the name of the Lord? That's what we must see. And God, through His Word, has given us a beautiful example of how they called upon the name of the Lord. And that account of those who obeyed the gospel on Pentecost is found in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And we're going to see some passages of Scripture, and I encourage you to follow along with me in your Bibles as we look at some of these passages to establish the background of this setting and what is involved here in this example of conversion in which some 3,000 called upon the name of the Lord. Remember that Jesus had promised the apostles the power of the Holy Spirit. And when the power of the Spirit came upon them, they would preach the gospel. They spoke in languages they had never learned in order to be able to communicate with those who were present on that day when the gospel of Jesus Christ was first preached and the church of Christ came into existence. And so verses 1 through 4 of Acts 2 tell us, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they," that is the apostles, "were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, what did they speak as they spoke in these other languages? Well, they spoke the truth of the gospel. Peter, standing up with the 11, verse 14, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." And the words that Peter called upon them to hearken to were the words of the gospel. And as he began to speak, he called their attention to an Old Testament prophecy. The prophecy that was recorded in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. And he quoted Joel's prophecy. And he said, "What you're seeing here today is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." That's verse 16 of Acts 2. Then he goes on, "And it shall come to pass in the last days," the beginning of the Christian dispensation, that's the last day, "saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." Now he goes on and concludes the quote of Joel's prophecy by saying, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now that's quoting Joel's prophecy. Joel's prophecy from Joel chapter 2 prophesied that in that day when these events would take place, whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord in that day would be saved. Now Peter says, this is that day. Here it is. Here's the fulfillment, the beginning of the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. This is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel. Joel said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord in that day shall be saved." Now, all we have to do is to see what they did on this occasion, as recorded in Acts 2, and we'll know what it means to call upon the name of the Lord, won't we? Because Joel said, "Whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord in that day, beginning in that day, would be saved." Peter says, this is that day. Now, when we see what they did, as recorded in Acts 2, to call upon the name of the Lord, then we will know what it means to call upon the name of the Lord in our day, and for as long as time stands. Because you see, this is a clear and beautiful example of what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, what did they do? Well, near the conclusion of Peter's remarks, verse 36 of Acts 2, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now notice verse 37 of Acts 2. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What shall we do? That is, What shall we do to be saved? Now remember, whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord in this day would be saved. Now they want to know what to do to be saved. In other words, they want to know what to do to call upon the name of the Lord. And what does Peter tell them? Well, they already believed, didn't they? Obviously. And so verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They already believed, and so he told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name, that is, by the authority of Jesus Christ, for the purpose of remission or forgiveness of your sins. How much clearer could it be? Then if we drop down to verses 40 and 41, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward or crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The verses that follow tell us that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. They were together. They had unity. Verse 47, the last verse of the chapter, says they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, such as should call upon the name of the Lord. Remember, Joel's prophecy said, whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord in that day would be saved. Peter said, this is that day. And whatever they did to be saved constitutes what calling upon the name of the Lord is, what it means from the Word of God. Does it mean to pray a prayer? Is that what they did? Does it mean to say something to the effect that I accept you now, Jesus, as my personal Savior and invite you into my heart? Earn salvation or achieve salvation by that means? No. It means to obey the gospel. That's exactly what Paul writes in the very context in which the phrase is found. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Verse 16. Well, some 3,000 on Pentecost Day did obey the gospel. Thus they called upon the name of the Lord. How much clearer could God make it than he has made it in his word? Not only in precept, but in practice, by examples, such as this one on Pentecost Day. But you know, Saul of Tarsus himself is an example of calling upon the name of the Lord. That's the second example we look at today. Saul of Tarsus. His conversion account is recorded in Acts 9. More is seen in Acts 22 as he recalls part of that conversion, and again in Acts chapter 26. Here was Saul of Tarsus, a beautiful example of what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. Remember that in Acts chapter 9, where we find Saul of Tarsus as a persecutor of the church. He was on a mission of persecution to Damascus, and the Lord appeared to him on the Damascus road. To do what? To save him from his sins at that point in time? No, indeed. Because he had to do what you and I have to do in order to be saved from sins. He had to believe the truth. He had to repent of his sins, confess Christ, and be baptized, as we shall see, for the remission of sins. But the Lord appeared to him to qualify him to be an apostle. Because, you see, to be an apostle of Christ, one had to have seen the risen Lord. And so it was necessary for Saul of Tarsus to see Christ on that Damascus road, to see that vision of the Lord, in order to qualify him to be an apostle of Christ. But as the Lord appeared to him there, and Saul responded, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And Saul of Tarsus, trembling and astonished, as verse 6 records, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Much like those on Pentecost ask, as we've already seen. What must we do? Men and brethren, what shall we do? Saul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What did the Lord say? The Lord said, arise and go into the city, that is Damascus, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now he told him to go on into the city. Meanwhile, the Lord appeared to a certain disciple named Ananias. And he said to Ananias, as recorded in verse 11 of Acts 9, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. Notice, for behold, he prayeth. He prayeth. Now, Saul was burdened with the guilt of his sin. Obviously, he realized that he'd been persecuting the very cause that he should have espoused. And now he realizes that he's guilty of that. And so he's been struck blind. He's not eating. He's praying, the Lord says to Ananias. Well, if prayer alone were sufficient to bring about salvation, why was Saul not able to pray through, as some express that? No, that would simply be calling upon the name of the Lord by trying to call upon the name of the Lord in a way that Jesus says, you cannot call upon me. Why call ye me, Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Remember Luke 6:46? But we're going to see what it was that Saul of Tarsus did to call upon the name of the Lord. And it's the very same thing that those on Pentecost did. It's the very same thing that you and I must do in order to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, remember that Ananias was told by Jesus, go in and inquire for this man, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Now, if we turn over to Acts 22, which is Paul's own account of what took place and what was said to him when Ananias finally came to him, we're going to learn what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. Here is Paul's own account of what Ananias said to him. When he came to him, he said, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And now why tarriest thou? What was he doing? The Lord had told Ananias, behold, he prayeth. He prayeth. He was praying. He was seeking to pray to God for the forgiveness of his sins. And yet Ananias said, and now why tarriest thou? Why are you delaying? Now you know what to do because I'm going to tell you what to do. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. In the process of arising and completing your obedience, Saul, by being baptized into Christ, you are going to call upon the name of the Lord through that process. You're going to obey the gospel. That's what the same man, Saul of Tarsus, later who was known as the Apostle Paul, wrote in Romans 10, beginning with verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But later in that same context, verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. That's how one calls upon the name of the Lord. Not by praying a prayer, simply. Not by inviting the Lord into one's heart verbally, but by completing one's obedient faith through being buried with their Lord in baptism for the forgiveness of sins, just as those on Pentecost were told to do, just as Saul of Tarsus was told to do, to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins in the water, not by the water, but in the process of being buried in water, the blood is applied from heaven. Why? Because in the death of Christ, his blood was shed, and in the likeness of his death, which is burial and baptism, the blood is contacted. And only in that burial can the blood of Christ be reached to cleanse us from our sin. And without the blood of Christ, we cannot be cleansed. Thus, baptism is essential. Oh, it's not baptism alone. It must begin with a belief that will move us forward to fully repent of our sins, as Paul, as Saul of Tarsus, later Paul, repented of his sins, obviously. It must be a faith that will lead us to confess with the mouth that Jesus is the Christ. But yes, it must be a faith that will not falter at the water's edge, but that will take us down into that burial where the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to reach us and to cleanse us from all sin. And so we've seen in precept and in practice, from the Word of God, the only place we can go, what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. We close with a passage from Romans chapter 10, where the Apostle Paul expressed a desire for his brothers in the flesh, that is, those fellow Israelites. He said of them in Romans 10, beginning with verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now notice what he says about them. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Tragically, there are many people like those Israelites of old who have a zeal, a tremendous zeal, a great sincerity and a desire to do God's will, but they've gone about to establish their own plan rather than submitting to the righteousness or the plan that makes man righteous given by God. They are seeking to call upon the name of the Lord in some way that man has told them they may call upon Him. As so many do, tragically, in the religious world, by telling you that you can on the spot pray a prayer and receive salvation and this type of thing. When in fact, the Lord's plan for making man righteous, what the Lord means by calling upon His name, involves simply obeying the gospel which Jesus Christ delivered to us. And that simple but beautiful gospel involves belief, yes, but not faith alone. It involves belief that will move you forward to repent, to confess Christ as Lord and Savior, and then to be buried in baptism. Then and only then are you cleansed from sin by the blood of Christ, because that's what calling upon the name of the Lord, as we have clearly seen, involves. And then, as those on Pentecost were added, you will be added to the Lord's church as you understand that you are not joining some denomination when you complete your obedience, but you're to be added to the Lord's church. You're to be a part of the church that was established on that Pentecost following the resurrection of Christ. And you're to remain faithful to that pattern that is clearly revealed for the church unto death, working and worshiping in the Lord's body unto death, or until the Lord returns, whichever comes first, knowing that as you do and as you continue to call upon the Lord through obedience to Him as a Christian, living the faithful Christian life, that you have the hope of eternal life, a peace now in this world that passes all understanding, and a joy that is truly an unspeakable joy.